This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm an OTI member. Most of my adult life, I've been sober curious or looking to go AF or doing stints of going alcohol free, but they would never stick. I think the reason they didn't stick was because there was lack of community or peer support. So once I found out about OTI in the community, I had to join straight away. Joining the OTI community has been the best alcohol-free decision I've ever made. It's such a fun, safe space to share your alcohol-free wins. There's always someone to give advice or celebrate with you. So if you're sober curious, come and join the fun at OTI. You won't regret it. It's a game changer.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It is wonderful to have you listening. We've been at this now for about 18 months. We started at the start of the pandemic around a little dining room table in Liverpool. And here we are, 18 months later, global, across the world. That dining table is now in New Zealand. I'll explain why in just a moment. If you are listening to us for the first time, welcome. It is wonderful to have you here. Just briefly allow me to reintroduce ourselves. My name is Sharon Hartley, aka Shazza or Shaz. Nobody calls me Sharon. Before I introduce Freddie, I quickly want to drop in actually that I've just hit 3 years alcohol free, which is a joke.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It is wonderful. And I've had the best weekend ever, which is a podcast for another day. 3 years alcohol free. Loving every single sober minute. I don't do this on my own. Freddie Bennett, who is in the future in New Zealand, around that dining room table. Morning, Freddie love.
Hello, everybody. My name's Freddie. I was once upon a time very stressed, very depressed, very trapped in a life that I didn't really like. But then I chose to step away from alcohol and I opted for a life less ordinary. What came next was travels around the world, world records, ultra marathons, and most importantly, liking that person that I saw in the mirror. I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be a great episode. I can feel it. And there is nowhere else in the world right now I'd rather be than right here with you all.
Oh, isn't he lovely? I love him. Aww. Freddie, thank you. It's great to have you. Very good, very good. We've also got background Ben, but I think we're dropping the background. We need another B to describe Ben. I won't think of that live on air. We'll save that one for another time. Our producer, background Ben, he's very sober. He's very alcohol-free. He's looking still quite sun-kissed and tanned, and he's still in his budgie smugglers. Hiya, love.
Hello. Yes, I survived my first alcohol-free holiday. I'm just over a year alcohol-free. When I started producing this podcast, I was a lager lout out of the lads drinking lager. But then these two inspired me to give it a go. I originally gave up booze for 3 months. Didn't expect to do it for longer than that. Really liked it when I got to 3 months. I thought, why not do six? Got to six, thought, oh my God, I feel great. Let's do the year. Got to the year, and I feel like I can confidently say I'm not going to drink again now. It's a good lifestyle change for me, and I'm hoping it's going to be forever and ever. But look, we've got a superstar guest today. So, Freddie, superstar. You're doing our intro, aren't superstar. You? I'm going to stop talking about myself and pass over to you.
I am, and you know what? I'm gonna rustle my paper because you know, when I've actually done some work and done some preparation, then you know it's going to be a great episode and we have a real treat for you today. Here at Over the Influence, we like to bring you the very best guests. In the past, we've had sober business people, stars of stage and screen, and well-being experts. And sometimes a guest comes along who is all those things rolled into one. Today, we bring you pop star, TV presenter, ice skating champion, West End musical star, and 2008 Celebrity Mum of the Year. I am delighted to welcome to Over the Influence, Susie Shaw.
Woo!
Woohoo! No,
what an intro!
Wow, a round of applause for that. You know, I forgot about the Celeb Mum of the Year one. I'm going to have to find that trophy because it's somewhere just to remind my family. I just need to remind them. Remind them. Do you know what? I won this once upon
what
a time.
What an accolade.
Back that in my drinking days.
Incredible. Superb. Oh, it's so lovely to have you here.
Oh, thanks for
you know why
me.
I'm excited, Susie? Because I've got a fellow Northern lass with me on the pod to sort of balance out with these two posh blokes that we chat with every week.
Ah, do you know what? It's music to my ears hearing that Lancashire accent. It really is, because I'm down south, you know, not hearing that often enough. So, yeah, it's so lovely to be here chatting to you. So thank you. But also to you guys, Freddie and Ben, as of course, it's really nice to be here with
we'll
you.
We'll give them a mention.
Obviously, and I know it's difficult, you know, because me and Ben really are so, like, blokey and macho. And just like we're probably going to start wrestling in a minute because, yeah, we're just such bloody blokey blokes.
It is wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much, Susie. It is great. Now, Over the Influence, basically, we just simply sing about sobriety. None of us expected to be here. In many ways, we didn't expect to do the podcast. We didn't expect to still be living alcohol-free life after trying it out initially. You've heard a bit about us. I'm 3 years. Ben's over a year now. Freddie's approaching 1,000 days. Tell us about you. Were you up to alcohol-free wise? Where did it start? And then maybe take us right back to your drinking days, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, it's just been my 20-month anniversary a few days ago on the 4th of September.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 20
Brilliant.
Months. I can't believe it. I cannot believe I am sat here doing a podcast talking about me being sober. That is really freaking me out right now. You know, when I sit back down and look back to my life and what it was all about and what culture it was, I never thought in a million years I would ever, one, be able to for myself come away from the drinking culture, and two, be able to come away from it because it was so such a big part of my family and friends setup and still is. You know, I'm one of the first to do this within my network of friends and family. And, you know, it's astonishing that I've been able to achieve it. My nickname for years and my password, it's not a password anymore, so no one can hack my accounts, just saying, used to be Boozy. That was my password.
Really?
Because my nickname was Boozy Susie or Susie Boozy. And I don't even think it stemmed from being drinking alcohol. I just got that nickname. But yeah, it kind of sums up to what a big change this is for me. And when I sit back and when I have moments like this, doing a recording with you guys, talking about being sober, I literally still have to pat myself on the back and go, yeah, I can't believe I've done this. Because if anybody said one person wouldn't be able to do it, they would probably point at me.
Actually, so I disagree with that. There'd be two of you because, well, there'd be two of us. It'd be me and you, Susie, because I was also that person that,
yeah,
the first one in my group to do it, you know, drank all the time. It defined who I was and all the rest of it. And every credit for making that decision, because it's not easy, is it, when you first start out?
It isn't easy. And I tell you what isn't easy again is, you know, I quit alcohol at the start of 2020. And it was something that I knew I was ready for. I had tried it previously, probably 2 years before. I was having big breaks from alcohol, then going back into it, then just getting into a really, really bad cycle. And probably drinking more than I had done before from having that big break. And I knew at one point I just needed to crack it. I read books like Alcohol Explained. I was actually at times looking, maybe I should go into AA, but knowing that that wasn't my process or my journey. And it wasn't until I discovered One Year No Beer. It wasn't until I discovered Andy Ravitch's books. And it was from that I found a language that was speaking my language and what I wanted to do. And now speaking to you guys is, you know, that same journey. It's nice to find those people, your tribe out there who are on that same journey that didn't get dragged off to rehab or found themselves in a circle at AA, getting a round of applause for admitting something that they didn't know, they didn't think they were that person. You know, I was living in that grey area. I wasn't an alcoholic, but at the same time, I knew I had an unhealthy relationship with the drink.
I'm really glad you said that, Susie, because I was talking to a friend the other day who's recently gone sober, and he was talking about, I don't know how to define myself. I wasn't an alcoholic. And I was saying, we don't have to define yourself. Yeah. You know, you can decide that your life is better without alcohol, and that's why you're giving it up. But I realised when I was speaking to him that I wasn't an alcoholic, but I think if you give me five more years, who knows? Yeah. Like I was on the wrong path with it.
Yes.
And
that's
why I decided to nip it in the bud. So nothing particularly terrible happened in your life? I don't want to pry into things you don't want to talk about.
No, it's fine. Because I enjoy talking about it because I think it's important. One of the part of the journey for me was speaking about it because I have a platform and I thought it was important for me because there wasn't anybody out there as a female in the pop theatre industry who hadn't been dragged to rehab, who just wanted to talk out loud and say, I've got a little bit of a problem, but I'm not that far. I just need to find some way to knock this on the head and to stop this drinking culture that I had found myself in and lost in. And so it was really important for me to talk about this journey and talk about my struggles with it. And I think the reality is that when I got into the pop band when I was 18 years old, we were worked really, really hard. We barely drank. We didn't go out partying. We weren't typical pop stars. We didn't have time for that. So when the band started to slow down and then when the demise of the band, I went into musical theatre and then after every show, everyone was out drinking. And so you kind of fall into that and my drinking got more and more. But also within that process, articles would appear in the paper, either untrue or something would have been sold on me. A partner would have sold a story, an ex-partner or a friend, or at the time I didn't realise I was being phone hacked. And so I would turn to drink as a coping mechanism. And that for me became a really bad habit. It became a really big coping mechanism for me. And so anything bad that would happen, I would turn to drink. Celebrating an after-show performance, I would turn to drink. Just having a great Tuesday, I would turn to drink. Having a bit of a bad moment in the day, like, you know, you've got a crummy email or something's happened where it's not been so great, I would turn to drink. And at times, you know, when you're younger, you can handle it and you can pull all-nighters and you know, and I had a kid when I was younger as well. I was 23 when I had my first child. And even with that, you know, you still are managed to be able to juggle everything. So not just motherhood, but my career, but then going out to events and partying hard. And then it wasn't until my dad died in 2012, and my dad was a really big drinker. It was what he did as part of growing up. You know, he was going to be the footballer, but actually drink was more important. Going out with his mates was more important. So he didn't go down that career. And so I saw it a lot when I was growing up that drink was quite a big thing that you did. And that's the culture we grew up in. And so genetically, you know, was he an alcoholic? He probably did have his problems, yet he was functioning. You know, he'd still do his job and be able to get on with life. So genetically, I probably had that all or nothing part in me. And so when he passed away, I just did not know how to cope because I didn't know how to grieve it. I didn't know whether to be angry with him. I didn't know whether to be sad, be scared. And so all of these emotions that I was having, I just ploughed into drink. And then I saw less and less work coming my way. And that wasn't because I wasn't turning up or to the gigs or was unreliable in any way. It was just the nature of the business. And when I was turning up on jobs, I was angry with the world. I was so angry. And then I would just cope with drinking. Anything that triggered me, it would be drink. So I would celebrate with drink. I would be sad with drink and anything in between. I was bored. I would go to the pub and I would drink. But then I could take big breaks and big times out. If I wanted to get myself into great shape for a contract, I'd stop drinking for 8-9 weeks. I'd feel absolutely amazing, but not understand why I couldn't knock it on the head. It was very much for me all or nothing. And it just had to be that right time where I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I know it will be the making of me quitting drinking. I just knew that was always going to be the thing. And it was just finding a way how to announce it to my friends and family that I was leaving their tribe and finding and setting up a new one of my own.
Susie, how did they find it? What did they say?
Do you know what? It's been really peculiar only recently, because I quit drinking at the start of 2020. A lot of people was doing Dry January that I knew. So a lot of people, like my partner was doing Dry January, a lot of my friends and family members, they were doing Dry January. So if I had seen them, we were all miserable together in that first part when you don't know how to
play. It's not easy, is it?
you don't know how to deal with the emotions and what to do with yourselves and have a conversation and actually like each other, all of that. So you're all kind of going through that awkward transition together. And then at the end of January and the 1st of Feb, they all went celebrating and everyone went to the pub. And I remember being quite nervous about being at the pub, but just tools that I picked up along the way about how to be really assertive when I got to the bar and what I needed to order and to stick to it. And it was really easy to go, oh, do you know what? I might just do the Dry January and just go back into my old ways. I didn't. I just knew something had changed inside me that I needed to do this for myself. So I didn't. And then that kind of carried on. And then I went on a cruise ship in March to do this one woman show where I talk about my career and sing a few songs, you know. And I turned up to this on this cruise ship. My MD, who had done the show with quite a few times before, a good friend of mine now, the person who plays my songs, he hadn't turned up on the ship. He hadn't turned up at all. But I had no backing tracks and I was relying on this keyboard player to be there, to be playing my pianist, to be playing my songs for me. It's like, I don't have a show. Oh my God, what am I going to do? This guy just absolutely went missing. And so I ended up having to download some backing tracks in the middle of the ocean, didn't know, like trying to get signal. And I remember just thinking, maybe at the end of this gig, I'm going to have a drink. And this was right at the start of March, so I'd just done 8 weeks. And normally I hadn't really gone any further than drinking after 8 weeks. So maybe I thought, oh, you know, I'll have a drink. I'm going to have a drink after this. This is like the most petrifying thing. I mean, I felt like I'd walked onto stage naked. I'd never been so unprepared in my life. All like nightmares, 20 years of having these kind of nightmares finally came true on this time. And it was really... It was one of those moments where I thought, you know, I've got 3 days to see, because I would never drink within that time. I'd always be sober on a job because I just want to be clear. My voice was like, you know, that was my priority, is making sure that my vocals were on point. So at the end of it, I didn't drink. But then what we did find out is Italy had just gone into lockdown because like the virus had got out of control. And this was the first time really hearing about it. A few weeks later, we'd gone into lockdown, and that was another moment of, you've got to get out of jail free card here. You know, if there's any time not to keep up those New Year's resolutions, it's now. You could just stop. But again, there was just something inside me. I just knew I had to do it for myself. And once I'd got past those three sticking points, the end of the January, 1st of February moment, the tragedy happening where I just felt like I'd been thrown under the bus on stage and not knowing what to do. And then, you know, getting the, you know, going into a pandemic, you know, with the 3 points, I thought, and I didn't turn to drink. I thought, I bloody cracked it. I've done it. And then that's when I started to start discovering what it is I wanted and started to take up the running and my fitness and my nutrition and really look into every element of my well-being. But then we were in lockdown, so nothing was kind of taking me off point. Recently now that I've started to see a lot more friends and family, and we're going to events. We went to a festival the other week, and I've had family come and stay for quite some time. We've been into the theatre, we've done loads of different things where I would normally have a drink, and I'm having to almost learn again how to be within a social environment, which I know I'm not going to turn to drink because that's completely gone now. I've got the strength within me and I know and I love my life and I feel extremely empowered that I'm completely in control and that doesn't cross my mind.
And I was going to ask you as well, Susie, I think it's such a testament to your strength and character when and just highlighting all these things that do come all of our ways in life, like literally hitting us like waves, as you were saying, being on that boat and being faced with these situations. And you talked about having to talk to your friends and family about, look, I've made this decision to not drink anymore and so on. You've also got almost 100,000 followers on Instagram. And you know, this is an audience that you've grown over the years since you started your fame journey. How did people take that on Instagram as well? Did you have people that were supportive? Did you lose followers? And how did all that side of things go down?
Interestingly enough, I never really engaged on Instagram or any social media really before I started this journey. I'd put the occasional post up when I was doing a job or I was on a holiday or the family would agree to do that shiny, you know, family picture where we look, make everything look like it's perfect when the reality is everyone's screaming about doing this picture because I've made them do it 30,000 times over. Because it doesn't quite look right. So the reality is I just started to really utilize my channel and my platform to express my journey. There were a few people that kind of went away at the start, but that encouraged me to do it more. It gave me this fire in my belly to go, no, this is what I want to talk about. And I'm going to talk about this. If you don't like it, please feel free to locate your finger to the unfollow button because I will not be offended. And I felt really proud in doing this. And even so much so, I think I did a sober chat and people were going, oh, for God's sake, stop piping on about going sober. And I literally said on the chat, please unfollow me. I am not forcing you to follow this journey. Please just, you know, do one, basically. and I feel the same to this day. When I chat about all of the things that I do, I am filled with so much confidence and I'm wanting to do it for those people who want to listen, who are ready for it, who want to live differently and don't want to get sucked in to, you know, a way that they don't enjoy anymore. I mean, I'm not taking it away from anyone else who does enjoy having the drink, who may not drink a lot or may even do drink a lot, and that's their journey. That is absolutely fine. You can do what you like. But if you do want to see and engage with me on what I'm doing, you know, if I get any criticism, I politely tell them to fucking do one.
Perfect. Freaking love that. And that is why you're on this podcast with Over the Influence. It's brilliant.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
Suzanne, I know you said call you Susie. Suze, I can't. You're Suzanne Shaw to me.
That's fine.
You know,
that's
you are
fine.
Suzanne Shaw.
My name.
Yeah.
So you're
pop star.
You
I've got to go full Suzanne. Suzanne, as you know, we've got some of our community members watching this podcast recording. I think most of the people on here would agree that they are all or nothing people. That's a phrase that you used earlier. I feel like a lot of us are. It's a story that comes up again and again and again. Something you said earlier, I knew quitting drinking would be the making of me. Mm-hmm. We've also got people as part of our community. They're all different stages. Some people, we've got a lady who's 7 years alcohol free. We've got some people who are on day one. You know, it really is a broad spectrum. But we know outside of the community, the podcast is listened to. We were recently featured on Apple, Suzanne. So we've got lots of new listeners.
Just dropped that in there, Ben. Nice one.
Oh, yeah. We're quite happy about that. But we've got lots of people who are sober curious. So they haven't decided to take the plunge yet. Maybe a bit nervous, worried about it. You said, I knew quitting drinking would be the making of me. Mm-hmm. How did you know? And has it been?
I just knew it was holding me back. It was taking control of me and my confidence. It was preventing me going that extra mile and doing the things that I wanted to do. I used to dream up on a really heavy, foggy hangover, being this wonderful person who would jump out of bed and go for a run, or just feel fresh and not want to order a doner kebab at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I used to go, wouldn't it be great to just have the ability to be completely in control, to not have done all those shots because you felt like you had to be the stupid one last night and say stupid things and do silly things because people think you're a legend and they give you a pat on the back when you drink and you do this. I would love to be strong enough to say no and actually get up the next day and achieve the things that I truly want to achieve. And when I was even 3 months down the line and doing that and actually doing my to-do list, one thing that I never was able to do, I'd say, oh yeah, I'll do that tomorrow and I'm going to do that and I'm going to start that project and I need to work on that. All these things I'd say I wanted to do, I never did, because alcohol was controlling me. It was preventing me getting those passion projects up and running, or just keeping my word to not only other people, but to myself as well. The minute I started to keep my word to myself, my confidence started to grow and grow and grow. And that just made me feel wonderful. It made me have respect to myself. I was no longer like self-loathing and talking badly to myself when I looked at myself in the mirror. I was actually going, well done. Do you know, you've bloody gone and done that run today, haven't you? And you've not only just gone out and done a run, you've just run 5 miles or you've run 10 miles. And when I started to achieve those things and then started to talk about my journey and I was getting the response back from the community that I was growing and building at the time, and then I started to do workouts and I started to see my skin get better and lose a bit of weight and my memory get better, and just then being able to sit and look back at how my confidence had built, that's when I knew this is at the absolute making of me. You know, don't get me wrong, I still have bad days where I, you know, don't want to face the things that I have to do, but I wouldn't face those things, but I do do it. And I don't even think about not doing it. I just get up and I do it. It just sometimes isn't as good as other days. But before, I would be scared to get out of bed sometimes on a heavy hangover, or even not on a hangover, just having the alcohol still in my system from a few days before. I would struggle I'd be scared of the world and I didn't know why. It was just taking complete charge of me. And now I'm, you know, 20 months down the line, I have a wonderful community of curious people who are asking my advice and asking my help to quit alcohol, people who are wanting to take up running, or they are runners, or, you know, they have started a plant-based diet and, you know, they want to know, get more recipes. You know, that interaction, finding my tribe that, you know, from the tribe that I left, and these wonderful people that I don't know very well, but I could sincerely call some of them good friends now. I look and I've set up this community, and we actually now have launched the Happy Health Club from that. And, you know, we'll be running challenges as well for people to get fit and, you know, look at their nutrition and try going sober. I can't believe I am this person. I can't believe I'm doing it. I just thought I would be a drunk on the set of Emmerdale for the rest of my life.
It's Susie, so much of what you're saying resonates massively with me. I mean, I'm going to ask you a really personal question now.
Yeah.
Were you also the biggest drunken dick at the party?
Yeah, massively, yeah. Or, do you know what really, really annoys me is that I allowed people to to give me that title. And I'm sure there were many, but because I allowed people to go, they made them feel better because they wanted to tell me about all my faults and what I did and how embarrassing I was.
It's awful. Because,
yeah.
Yeah,
my ex-husband used to, which he was quite right at the time. I didn't agree with him at the time. It's probably why I divorced him. But he used to call me a buffoon. He said, people laugh at you, not with you. And at the time, I was so offended by it, going, no, I'm just the one, the life and soul of the party. I just want to get everyone. But he was right. People were just laughing at me because I'd do anything to, you know, have that, again, like that. It was that ladder era.
Yeah, I completely get it.
You know, do all the shots, make a fool of yourself, wake up in the morning, feel so awful and so embarrassed and have the beer fear, and then, you know, do it all again.
And then when you strip it away, when you take alcohol away, here you are. I mean, because you are, you're a pop star, you're a singer, you're on the stage, you're an actress. I think it's probably really appropriate now that we bring Freddie in at this point because he likes to... we've got a song we like to sing on the podcast, and it sort of it just shows off who we are, and it sums up our journeys. And it's This Is Me, Susie, from obviously The Greatest Showman. I mean, who else better to do this with Freddie?
It is, you know, the whole This Is Me and the whoa, and but imagine that in a good voice, and that's
feel
kind of
pressure
how it is.
To sing. She's
dancing along.
You know what? It is. If Hugh Jackman was a slightly camp, tries to be a bit too young guy from the mean streets of Bath, then this is basically like having him right here. But I was going to say as well, Susie, picking up on something you said earlier about being strong enough to say no. And I think that's such an important point because so many of us, and I was there on that morning when I said enough is enough. Alcohol makes us believe that we're weak, and we think that by saying to ourselves or to the world, look, I need to take a break from the booze for a while. Mm-hmm. We believe that that's either being weak or showing people that we can't handle it, or that, you know, for some people, addiction's got control of us, or whatever it is, that we worry about showing this vulnerability to the world. But I think you make a great point that it isn't vulnerable, it isn't weakness. It is about strength and people's decisions to step forward and say, I am going to drink differently for a month or a year or a lifetime, does take so much power and strength and motivation, because there's so much in the world out there right now that is telling us that drinking is cool, that you have to drink to be loved, that you have to drink to have a good time, and all these things. And was that the case for you, that you really had to summon this strength to say, no, this is how my life is going to go from now on, and this is the way that I'm going to be?
Yeah, because ultimately I was destroying my own life. I was no longer enjoying being me. And if I continued saying yes to the drink, you know, nobody else cared about my life after that night out. They couldn't give a flying crap about it. They got on with their own and was worried about their own behavior from that night, and probably in that cycle themselves going, God, what did I do? Oh, God. And the irony of it is that celebratory drink is meant to bring us together, meant to kind of unite us and feel like we are as one, and, you know, we're all in it together. Yet we suffer alone. And we'll only ever suffer alone on that hangover. You just never can come together and feel okay with somebody else. Even if that person next to you is dying of a hangover, you sit in silence, fighting your inner demons and your negative mind chatter. And it's not good. And I just wanted to come away from that because no one gave a crap about the times when, after that party had happened, they were just looking for that next quick fix, the next high, as was I for so long. And I just needed to get on with my life. It was just holding me back more than anything ever could hold me back. It was just so debilitating. And what it did as well, it wasn't just the drink. It was the knock-on effect. It was the food that I was eating, which was taking control of my life and my health. It was the smoking. I would smoke when I drank. You know, it wasn't something that I wanted to do, but as soon as like two white wines in, it was like you know, flipping Doc Cotton out of EastEnders, like chaining it one after another. It was ridiculous. So it really had a grip on my behaviour, my thought process. You know, I was never, in the end, I was in under this dark cloud of like just this vicious cycle of drink, eating badly, negative mind chatter, and I couldn't get away from it. And I had to take charge. And I think when you said, Freddie, enough is enough, that's exactly how I felt. It was the fire in my belly. I was like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I always say, one day or day one, you decide. And that's where I was at. It was day one. And I had to make that decision that that was it. Goodbye. And anybody who wants to be a crab and bring me back down, if I'm trying to get out of that bucket and you're trying to bring me back down, then you can't be a part of my journey for now. You've just got to stay where you are. If you're not going to support this for me, then you're not meant to be in this next stage of my life. And I had to be that brutal, and you know, and that has meant having to take time out from some very close family members and very close friends. But it doesn't mean that I don't love them. I just need to take time out until we can figure out how that relationship's going to form again in the future. And that, you know, may take some time. I don't know. But, you know, that's part of the process. But I have to do it for me, because if I go back into that old life, nobody else cares how it ends, ultimately, really. And so, you know, I've got to do it for my own success and for my own family, my own children. And I want them to see that, you know, you don't have to be a prisoner to people pleasing. You don't have to be a prisoner to that. You know, be strong enough to be the first to stand out of that box and form a community and allow people to come to you and go, wow, this is fantastic. You know, I want a little bit of what you're doing, because that medicine that you're on now seems far better than the one that I've been taking.
I think you're totally right, Susie. And there's that phrase, isn't there, that if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. And I think that highlights the importance of community.
I've never heard that phrase.
I was agreeing with that, and I thought, never heard that before.
If you hang around the bakery for long enough, you're going to get a loaf of bread.
You're going to load up on carbs. That's Denzel Washington that said that quote. Look at this. This is edutainment right here. I'm teaching.
I never heard that either.
Infotainment. We have to highlight this record. It's not often that Freddie is here teaching people things. that's one of my favourite phrases. No, if you hang around
now,
the barbershop, you're going to get a haircut.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what that phrase means, I think, Denzel Washington said that. And it means if you hang around certain people for long enough, then you're going to adopt their behaviours effectively. Yeah. You hang around, if your five friends smoke, you're going to end up smoking. If your five friends are going out every single weekend, getting pissed up, that's what you're going to be doing. And I think that highlights the power of community. And I know, Susie, with what you're doing with the Happy Health Club, and it sounds like it's got off to an amazing start, and there's such an amazing buzz about it at the moment. We've had the Over the Influence community going now for a couple of months, and it's the same, and it's so empowering for people to find that group of people where they just say, oh, you know, you get it, you understand. And for people to realise this is where I belong, this is where I can make things happen and achieve what I want to do in my life. And I think it's such an amazing and powerful thing.
Yeah. It is, and you know, I've done things I never thought I'd do. When I took up running, I just fell in love with the way it made me feel. I know, Freddie, you've been like experiencing, like you've done the ultra runs and stuff. And you know, when I decided that my first marathon would be an ultra, I didn't know I would ever say that out loud, that I would do one. And I was kind of talked into it. But you know, doing something. So I ran for 19 hours consecutively, and it was for the Samaritans. And the reason I ran for 19 hours is because 19 people in the UK every day take their own lives. So I wanted to do something big that made a statement, that made people talk about this unhealthy amount of number that people are taking their own lives. And, you know, alcohol will be playing a big part in that, and in depression and in mental health. You know, people, you know, are turning to vices, you know, whether it be unhealthy eating, alcohol, you know, not doing things for their own well-being because they're not coping very well. So I wanted to spark that conversation, and that's why I very stupidly decided to, you know, do this 19 hours.
Susie, ridiculous
amount of time.
Unbelievable, for goodness
when
sake.
I was halfway through and I felt like my feet were going to fall off. I was like, why did I do this? But I would never, if I was still drinking, I wouldn't have done it because I wouldn't have shown up to the training. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have been able to really test my limits and trusted myself and had the confidence in myself to do it. So it does go to show that quitting drinking has been a big catalyst for so many wonderful things that you can achieve and do. And I'm sure you guys have absolutely experienced that too.
Quitting booze.
I think we have, Susie. I want to say a big personal thank you as well, Susie, for that ultra and raising money for the Samaritans, because it's not something that I talk about a load. I do a bit on Over the Influence, but certainly when my drinking was bad, when it was really bad, and I was going on the, you know, I was in London a lot at the time, and obviously there's plenty of trouble to get into in London, and I'd be out, yeah, getting myself into all sorts of trouble until late at night, and I would always have the Samaritans on speed dial, and there was certainly a point in my life when I was calling up the Samaritans in a very, very dark place almost every single day, and I know the amazing work that they do for so many people. And so a big thank you to the Samaritans, and a big thank you to you as well, Susie, for raising money for literally a very life-saving cause.
It is, you know, they do so many wonderful things, and like you said, you know, there's been times when you're just at despair, aren't you? You don't know why you can't get a grip of, you know, the things that you do. And you know, they are there, do a wonderful job. And we ended up raising £10,000, which I'm really super proud of, you know, because that you know, would have gone a long way for them, because they, you know, they have they do really have to put in a lot of work to train up their volunteers. And they do such an amazing job.
They do. I'd like to say that £10,000 probably just for the bonus the person had to speak to me so many times, because they would have definitely needed all that training.
Well, they did a good job, Freddie. They did a good job.
They Thanks. Did. They got me back on the straight and narrow, didn't they? There or thereabouts.
But, absolutely.
But no, thank you.
Something that very quickly I just wanted to mention to you, Susie. You've talked about the mind-boggling changes that happen when you remove alcohol. It's a joke, the things that can happen from the smallest thing in the world to enjoying a bird landing on your new bird feeding station, right? And I'm not even joking. That is a thing in my back garden. To things like getting a job as a radio presenter with BBC Local Radio and playing Hearsay in my rewind hour. Bloody love it. And here we are now chatting to you.
That's amazing.
You couldn't write the stuff that happens, but you've got to give yourself the chance, haven't you?
Yeah.
I'm so passionate. Like you, I am loving your positivity on the pod today. You are right up our street, Susie, so thank you.
Thanks, Shaz.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, let me have a look at some of these messages. I need some advice as well about all your plant-based stuff. I mean, I don't think I could do it myself. Oh, dear God. I need to sort my shizzle out. I just necked about half a pint of chocolate ice cream before we came in, which was brilliant. Anyway, so here we go. Jules has said, I'm interested in your changing diet to plant-based. Was it a slow transition or from one day to the next? Have you found any specific foods which help you stay alcohol-free? So is the whole vegan, alcohol-free thing, is it all related, Susie?
Well, funnily enough, I knew this in 2020 I wanted to quit alcohol, but I'd started going plant-based in 2019 in about November. And so I always had a bit of a intolerance to animal product, particularly dairy. And so I removed it from my diet, but I actually became quite an unhealthy vegan for quite some time. I actually lived at Greg's because they did the amazing, like, I love that you say sausage Greg. Rolls.
You can take the girl out of the north.
Absolutely.
Living. Yeah. It's just like living, honestly, on Greg's sausage rolls, the vegan ones, and chips. And so it wasn't until I really quit drinking that I started to look at the proper nutritious way of going plant-based. And it's been wonderful to learn. I personally enjoy cooking, and I think that has helped massively. I've really loved the recipes. I think, you know, for me, when I stripped alcohol away from my life, it really made me look at all different wellness aspects. And part of that was nutrition, because I was no longer putting the poison into my body, which was the alcohol. I wanted to find ways of, you know, working with my hormones, how it makes me feel, you know, how to boost my serotonin, because I do struggle with my mental health. And that's not just through, you know, my drinking days. It's something I have to work really hard on. So really finding, like, pineapple really boosts your serotonin levels, and your spices will work really well with that. And that would happen. And so there was this big learning curve. And so I took a nutrition course again. Having space in my life by removing alcohol, it helped me, you know, be able to take a mindful nutrition course, which was brilliant, because I learned so much about how to work with your food, but mindfully, and how to work with it against your triggers. But I just started basically by taking meat away from the foods that I enjoyed eating. So, for example, spaghetti bolognese. When I would take away the beef or the turkey mince that I used to have, I'd replace it with finely chopped mushrooms and lentils. And I really enjoyed that. When I had a Thai curry, I wouldn't have the beef or the chicken or the prawn. I'd just have sweet potatoes, chickpeas, again, lentils, different vegetables, tofu. And I just started with the recipes that I knew and the foods that I loved, and I just replaced the meat for vegetables. And then it just kind of grew from there. And now I have almost like a challenge with myself, because if they say if you have over 30 plants a week, how that helps your gut microbiomes, that will then help your hormones. And so it's just, I love just experimenting on myself. Like, we're like, let's get a loads of really colourful stuff on a plate. And I really know that I'm getting that good value of nutrition.
Have you heard the episode? You may not have done, but we recorded an episode of Over the Influence with Davinia Taylor. Davinia, who was former, yes, started a career, yeah, in Hollyoaks, Primrose Hill set.
Yeah.
I always thought, because, yeah, I never realised until that there's a link between the gut and the brain. And that I always thought the phrase, you are what you eat, yeah, referred to kind of physical, you know, if you eat a load of fatty stuff, you're going to be, yeah, overweight. But actually, you are what you eat relates to,
yeah,
the mind, doesn't,
like,
it?
It really does. You know, you whatever you put in your body will come out in whatever way. And so I just find it fascinating. I've just read Davinia's book. I mean, she is really anti plant-based vegans. Like, she really shouts about it in her book, but the parts that I really do love, like some of the biohacking she does, I think is brilliant. But then this is why I think it's so fascinating. I think you really have to do you, because there's some stuff that she talks about that I don't agree with, particularly with the soya based products. You know, I believe they're really huge health benefits, but from a weight loss point of view, she completely disagrees with it. She thinks they're quite inflammatory. But in terms of, you know, reduction in breast cancer and the properties that, you know, soy products has in it, it's really good. So we probably have a really big row if me and Davinia ever did a live together, because there's some elements we don't agree on.
Do it, do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Bye, bye. But yeah, she talks about some fantastic things in her books, and genetically our makeup as well. And how we all are, you know, it's really, really quite fascinating. I didn't realise, and I don't know why I didn't realise this, but how important sleep is to your mental well-being, but for weight loss as well. Sleep is so important. Your hydration, you know, it's really vital. You know, you get, you know, your water intake, and supplementing as well, something I never did in my life up until now, is something that I do all the time.
Thank you, Susie. I realise we are now nearly out of time, so I'm going to be very quick with this. Hang on, I've lost it. Bear with me. Delm, thank you for messaging, Delm. Just wanted to make a comment. Totally with you on the I'm supposed to be living a better life than this. Spent too long settling for second best because it was easier and more socially acceptable. Feels great to go for it. Absolutely, Delm. Thank you so much. And we just say, bollocks to the rest of them if they don't like it.
Absolutely.
Question for you very quickly, Susie, because we are out of time, but thank you. Laura says, your story is very inspiring, especially in the industry you're in. Do you still have cravings or has this gone? And if so, when did it go? When did you stop actually craving a drink or just thinking about drinking?
I think craving a drink was probably 3 months in, like real physical, like, has that urge gone? The urge had gone then. But then, you know, mentally, it does pop up every now and again. It's just not so overwhelming that I feel like I need to do it. You know, there will always be moments like seasons where, you know, I have a moment where you come in from summer into autumn where I would change from white wine to red wine. I remember that there'd be a memory from it and something would remind me of it, or the smell of mulled wine. You know, there are things that remind me of the more joyous times of it, but I don't have the urge to do it because my life is far superior now that I don't do it, that I just never would. I can never say never. I don't know. Something might happen at some point where I do. I could never say never, but I just know right now, today, I have no urges, but there'll always be points where I'll get a memory about it and have that split second thought of, ooh, I used to do that.
And then we remember the bad things again.
Oh, and then then someone will show me a picture of me lying and rolling around in my own vomit, and I go, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, brilliant. Susie, it's been an absolute pleasure. I can't believe that hour has gone so fast. I wish we could chat for another 2 hours, but we can't. We will have to do this again another time.
Me too.
I would love to invite you back into our community at some point to chat about what you're doing with the Happy Health Club. I love the sound of it. It's got a really nice vibe. It sounds wonderful already. Our members would like a little bit more information about it. Where can they find about? I'll try that in English, Susie. Where can they find? I can't say it. Somebody else do it.
Where can they find out more about the Happy
Where
Health
they can
Club?
Find?
Thank you.
Then all you need to do is go to thehappyhealthclub.com. And you can find out all the information. You can join the Facebook community group, and every Tuesday we go live with a wellness expert and we talk all things wellness, and it's wonderful. We'll have to get you guys on.
We're there.
We'll have to get you on.
We're there.
In the community.
We would love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And as well, something we've not even had a chance to talk about, you look incredible. You sound incredible. You're just so together, so confident.
Thank you.
But you really are. We talk about this sober glow, Susie. I don't know if you can tell. Freddie's got it, even though it's a little bit early in the morning.
Everyone's got it.
You look fantastic, Susie. You really are shining.
Oh,
so thank you
very
for sharing your positivity with us. We've loved it.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like the Vagina Monopod.
Hello and welcome to the Vagina Monopod.
Woo!
Woo! I'm an actress, Sasha Parkinson. You may know me best from shows like Mr. Selfridge or My Mad Fat Diary. I feel like I'm reeling off my IMDb.
CV. I am Molly Wright. I am also an actress. What have I done?
The A word.
The A word.
Apostasy.
Bit of Our Girl.
Our Girl.
Apostasy.
Forgot about that.
2 weeks of Our Girl.
A little backstory as to how the Vagina Monoblogs came about. As a person anyway, I've always been quite open, especially from about 16, 17. I just kind of then couldn't shut up about periods. I'd happily tell anyone I was on it. I didn't really shy away from talking about myself in that way. I was diagnosed with endometriosis in 2016. And then that kind of just spurred me on really to be more vocal on social media about menstrual health. We are not medical experts, but we will be getting
really
people.
Not.
No, we're really not. But we will be having the experts on. So if you have any questions you'd like answering, please get in touch and send them over to the Vagina Monoblogs on Instagram. We hope you join us for the next 10 episodes of
Thanks.
More menstrual health discussion.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Vaginas!
The Vagina Monopod from Sound Rebel. Search for it now on your favourite podcast app.